listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome all you listeners wherever you are. If you're out in the car or home listening on the radio, or maybe someone's listening on the internet, we just welcome you to our program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have for 22 plus years now, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we're honored to be here with you for this hour every Saturday. So have ears to hear what the Spirit of God may tell you through these teachings and things we're going to talk about today, because it's an important season that we're in. And so we're just honored to be here with you. So Pastor Donna's got a couple of announcements to make here before we start. And this is an important season. We're coming up just a few days, less than a week now, we're going to be into Purim. And it's interesting what's going on in the world. We're going to talk about some of those things and what happened in Esther's day. And we know that the Persians over there at that time came against God's people. Well, we got another group today. There's a pattern. It happened years ago. And we got another group now that's coming against God's people as well, the church, the believers in Christ. So, Pastor Don, make your announcements there about our Purim. Amen. And then we'll go on from that point. Amen.
And you'll mention the new calendar is out. If you'd like to have a copy of the new calendar, you're going to hear us mention the month of Adar, and you're also going to hear us mention the month of Nisan. So it's all on this new calendar, and so if you'd like to have a copy of it, please just give us a call. We'd be glad to send you one, because this is a very important month. This is a very important month. As Pastor Gene said, we are going to have Purim. Purim begins this month, and it actually begins, we're going to have the celebration on the 7th, which will be at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to have a meal and a celebration and a teaching about Purim, right, and some special music. But Purim actually it lasts for 3 days, and we're going to be sharing about that. And so, but the 7th is the day that we will be celebrating it. Of course, we do have services every Sunday, and also every Friday night we have Shabbat services at 7 p.m. And on Sundays we have our 10 o'clock a.m. worship service. We're meeting with God. We call it a meeting with God. Amen. But we praise the Lord. And then on Saturdays, we have special programs and dance classes. And we're going to have some special videos this month. Another thing is very important is, the full solar eclipse is going to be this month. And so we'll be teaching on that probably the following next week. Or the week thereafter, it's going to be coming on the 20th. And also then we have, of course, this month is the month of Adar. And then when the new moon comes, which will be on the 21st, that will be the beginning of the month of Nisan, which is the month that Passover comes in. So these two, Purim and Passover, are 30 days apart.
Exactly.
And so these 2 months, the month of Adar and the month of Nisan, are very important. And things happen, and we can see things happening again, because we talk about God, is that his calendar, his prophetic calendar, is cycles. You know, every cycles, 12 months, 30 days each, 360 days for a year. It's not the same as our calendar. And that's God's on a prophetic calendar, and he wants us to understand that. Also, Pastor Gene's commentary shows the calendar, and you can understand the calendar and learn the months of the calendar and find out why it doesn't. It's not the same as our calendar because, you know, it's God's calendar.
And the Bible shows two calendars, not just one, right?
Right.
Which are all based on the lunar calendar.
Right, on the lunar calendar. Praise God. So if you'd like a copy of this, I'm going to give you a phone number in just a second. You can give us a call. If you'd like to come to the Purim celebration, it's going to be a wonderful time of teaching and also a time of enjoyment. And, you know, it's really the most joyful time of the year because, you know, deliverance was brought to God's people. Well, God's people, you know, we're God's people, right? Not just the Jewish people, but those who believe in Yeshua.
That's right.
In Jesus. We're God's people, and God's people are being persecuted many places in the world today. And we're going to be sharing a little bit about that as well. And we know that, you know, we need to pray, and we need to have a heart like Esther and Mordecai had.
That's
because,
right.
And the people, because the people joined together and prayed. And our bishop, Bishop Hammond, Bill Hammond, which is the overseer of many churches, and me being ours as one of them, their home base is in Santa Rosa Beach.
International Ministries.
Christian International Ministries, Bishop Bill Hammond, and he has called out to pray, 21 days of praying for 1 hour in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost.
Every day.
We can pray in the natural, but we want to pray the perfect prayer. And so it's important that we pray in the Spirit. And I just got I've heard several people, Sid Roth, he says, pray for Christians. Pray. It's a time like Esther did. She went before the king and she said, if I perish, I perish. But she brought all the people into prayer. And that's what the believers here, especially in these free countries, right here in the United States, you know, pray for these other Christians that are being persecuted, being killed. Terrible things are happening to them. You can listen to it. It's on the news every single day, every single night. How can we not be touched by it, knowing that our brothers and sisters in these persecuted countries are, many of them don't even have a home anymore because they had to leave where they lived because their life is in danger. Their children's lives are in danger. They're Christians. They're believers. They're brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Lord.
And so Sid Roth was saying, pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, it's important that we all pray in the Holy Ghost. And if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the English. But ask the Lord because he wants to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus said that. You believe the words that the Lord Jesus said. And it's in every single Bible. It's in every Bible. So believe that. He wants to baptize us all, believers, with the Holy Ghost.
And
that is praying in our heavenly language. It's a prayer that only God knows, and you know, and we pray the perfect heart of God. So I want to say hello to you out there who listen to us, who pray for us. Thank you so much for that, who help finance this radio broadcast. We're also on the internet. And you can listen to this again or many other teachings we've had on WCNO.com. And that's on Saturdays. Just look at Saturdays. And that's at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for 1 hour. So you can listen to us there. And you can continue to keep us in prayer. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Because we're in the last days. And
sure are. It's
these two
down.
Months right now, we're in a new cycle. We're in a new cycle. It started back when see, right now, we're this calendar's coming out. You know, we're already in the month of Adar. We're already in the month of Adar. So we're in this cycle, and it's leading up to Passover. So if you can come on Saturday, the 7th, to mark it on your calendar, give us a call and RSVP. It's at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries in Stuart, Florida. And it's going to be at 5 p.m., Purim celebration and teaching, on the 7th of March. Amen. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
So we're almost, when we get through Adar, we're going to come to Nisan, which is the beginning of months on the Jewish lunar calendar. And we know that Tishri, in the latter part of the year, is the beginning of years, because that's when they celebrate their new year every year. So I just felt an urgency this week, and we had our prayer meeting on Thursday, and I was just really grieved thinking about our country and where we're at this time. And so I thought we might talk about some things that kind of fitted in with Esther, because, you know, history repeats itself many times. And we know that the Persian Empire at that time and the king, and especially Haman, tried to destroy God's people. And what have we got going on in the world today now? There's a group of people in the world over in the Middle East, and there's stuff going on here in our country. We just pray nothing happens. But there's another group that's trying to destroy God's people, which are those that are Christians. And look at how many that's already been killed, and their heads cut off, and now they're kidnapping 200, 300, 400 of them, and we don't know what's going to happen with them. But we need to pray that our president will stand up and do that which is right, and try to stop this from happening. Go in and get involved. We have to send troops over. Let's do it. Do what needs to be done to stop this terrible thing that's trying to coming into place,
right?
To murder and just destroy the Christians. And it's incredible. The children, the women, are separating them, putting them in cages, and all the stuff that's going on over there. So I thought we might talk.
You know, Pastor Gene, I was watching that on the television, and also my Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, I have a lot of friends in Israel. Actually, I don't know a lot of them, but I have a lot of people who I talk to through Facebook, and they put things up that are happening right now. Well, you know, this is just, they're just trying to scare the Christians over here.
Put fear in America,
put fear
right.
in Christians everywhere. I mean, look what's happened
in other countries.
In other companies, other countries. I mean, you know, when they're putting them in certain, in these, all in the same clothes, all these orange clothes, and they're putting them in cages. I mean, that is a display.
Yeah.
That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to display what he's doing. He's claiming a victory. See, the devil is claiming a victory. And so what is he doing? He's taking them around. He's displaying his victory. And how is he doing it? Through the media. Through television, through the internet, all different ways. You know, we're in the last days, people. And so he's out there, and he's displaying his victory. Well, that's why we need to pray, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that includes the devil.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
We need to be like Esther. Praise God.
That's right.
Because I don't know how many people they have now. I mean, last time I heard it was over 200. You know, and it's growing daily. It's growing daily. And to build cages, to parade these people around so that the world can see. And then what are they going to do?
What are they going to do with them?
Then they take, you know, and kill them all at one time. I mean,
it's a holy war is what it is.
It is a holy war.
It's a religious war, whether anybody believes it or not.
And the way they're doing it, they're making it that way as well.
That's the devil
itself. Bringing destruction on believers, on Christians, just like in the days of Esther. They wanted to kill every single Haman is a picture of the devil. He wanted to kill every single Jew.
That's right.
Every single Jew. He didn't want one Jew left alive.
You got it. It's incredible.
But God. And so we need to have the same kind of thought and belief that Esther had and that Mordecai had.
That's right.
You know, they both had a different anointing. But they both had the same, the results were the same, but they needed both. They needed the fasting, the prayer, and the crying
together,
out.
Didn't they? That's right.
And the teamwork, and they needed the authority. And, you know, Esther was in a place where she was given authority, because she was not afraid to go before the king. Well, we have a king, and he hears our prayers.
Sure.
Amen?
Sure does.
So, you know, Esther, but they had, it took more than just one thing. You know, they sought God. First, you got to seek God.
That's right.
They spent time seeking God. And so when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, like Bishop Hammond asked us to pray 21 days for 1 hour.
Each day.
Each day. Now, they're doing it at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is Central
with their staff,
time.
Yeah.
So here in Florida, it would be 10 o'clock in the morning. So if we're praying with them in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit for an hour, not in the English, but just in the Holy Ghost, and, you know, that's where we're hitting the heart of God. And we're praying the perfect prayer. And of course, God reveals things to us when we do pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in
That's
the
right.
Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. But, you know, we need to pray for President Obama.
Yes.
That he will make a decision to do something about this. So we're calling people. So listen to this program today. Mm-hmm. We want you to continue to pray. It's time for us to stand up. That's what Esther and Mordecai did, and they got the mind of God and knew what to be done.
Mind of God.
So we need to pray. And so we've been praying the Spirit every day. As I've been praying this week, the more I pray, the more I think about these Christians in the other parts of the world,
yes,
and these cells that are around, even in our country and all. And we need to continue to pray that something will be done. Our government needs to step in and intervene in this thing and to annihilate this. And so you think what's going on right now. They're doing this over there because they know that we will not do anything about it. All the countries are paralyzed because of fear. And so they know President Obama's not going to do anything about it. So they're going to make a display of this. And so we have to bind that and come against that and pray that God's going to move on behalf of the Christians over there at that time. But I thought today, as we talk about this a little bit, kind of fitting in with Esther.
Our president needs godly wisdom.
That's right.
Godly wisdom. And godly people around him, you know, to speak truth to him that know God.
But he makes the final decision. He does. With his pen and pencil.
Right, but if he would listen.
But anyway, let's talk about, think about the history of all this. You know, I think about, you know, Jonathan Cahn wrote these two incredible books about the harbingers.
Yes.
And then he wrote the book about the mystery of the Shemitah. And showed all this, and it all, what God showed him several years ago was, in fact, it was quite a few years ago now, was out of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 9, 10, 11, right in there. And it was about the Assyrians. Well, think about this. If you understand history a little bit, the Assyrians were probably the founders and established terrorism more so than any other group of people that ever lived. They were that bad. And so that's where that all started. But it's been carried out down through these years and all that, and it's getting worse. And so we have all these patterns in the Bible to talk about. And as we're talking about, as we mentioned this, you know, we're coming up on Purim. Well, this was a time that we know that the Persians were going to try to destroy all the Jewish people. Well, here we are at this time of the year, Purim, and now we got a group of people trying to destroy Christians all over the world. And there's going to be some Jews will be involved with that as well, because the Muslims hate the Jews as well. But think about the history, you know, it all happened. All the territory that these nations at that time, you know, Assyria, we had Iraq, we had Persia. And if you read the book of Jasher, which is another Jewish writing, it tells you the conquest that the Jews had against, when they went into the Promised Land, against all these nations and kingdoms that were there that they had to destroy. And the numbers were incredible, but God with his people, he gave them the victory and they won. But you think about it, those powers were shut down and you know, stopped with God's people at that time. But think about this, spirits do not die. So they went out and they're looking for someone else that they can operate and move through. And so that was years and years ago before the Islamic faith came into being. But they're roaming around, and they have been looking for someone that they can move through, and also a group that would affect the whole world. And so here we are at this day right now. We can see this going on right now. And so it happened way back then, and it's going to happen again. And it's amazing how it started off. And so that territory that they occupied, you know, we're thinking about, we talk about Syria on the news. We hear about Syria, and we hear about the territory where Persia is. Well, it was Iran, but it used to be called Persia and Iraq. And all these spirits are still roaming around, and they've got a group of people now that's wanting to do what the devil wants to do, which is destroy Christians and also the Jewish people as well. And so I was thinking about this morning before we came on the program. You know, we have four key terms in the Muslim faith that we hear. We talk about Muhammad, we hear about Islam, we hear about Allah and the Mahdi, which is their man that looks, they call him like a Messiah to their religion. Well, we know it's a false Messiah that's going to be there, but this is what they have. So I wrote down these terms. I thought you might want to know what they really mean. Muhammad, his name means the praised one. Listen to this. He's the praised one. Well, then what does Islam mean? Islam means submission. Their purpose is to what? To submit the whole world to Sharia law and to take over the world and control it. And then this God that everybody in the Muslims that worship, the Allah, he's a moon god. You know, you see their crescent moon, their symbol, the star in the middle of it. Well, it's the moon god. And then the Mahdi, as they call him, he's called the guided one. So we have all these terms. It's a counterfeit to what God's doing with the church and the body of Christ around the world and all. So we need to understand that. And so they want to destroy and just completely wipe out all of Christianity and all of Judaism as well and take over the world. And so we need to pray. And so we're asking people today.
Lord.
Not enough ministers are talking. We're talking about everything but the important thing. This is so important in our land. Something's going to happen. I believe with all my heart Something's going to happen this year in our country that's going to bring a wake-up call. But we can pray like Esther and Mordecai. Maybe we can prevent that from happening because the people of God will stand up and be bold and declare the truth about what the Word of God says instead of going along with this and saying, well, it's not affecting us over here in America, so it doesn't matter. Or we're running around with our head in the sand thinking one day it's just going to go away. It's not going to go away.
It is affecting us, but
get
we
worse.
Don't realize
That's
it.
That's right. It's affecting a lot of areas.
We don't realize it. And first thing it's affecting is our mind.
That's right.
It's our mind. That's why we got to have. That's why we need the mind of God. And that's why praying in the Holy Ghost is so important because
right.
It's like you said, it's fear. And, you know, fear affects the mind. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you begin to wipe away that fear. You destroy that fear and you get the mind of God. You get the mind of Christ. You know, the Bible says that to be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're talking about the spirit. Not so much your thought. Your thoughts are changed when the spirit of your mind is changed and you have you know that you have a Heavenly Father that answers prayers. And God loves those Christians over there and they are suffering. And you know what? I believe that some of their faith is stronger than some of the faith of people in our country or other countries
right.
that have all this freedom. Well, we think, well, we're safe and we're free and our homes are not, couldn't be hurt, nothing could happen. Well, you know, we're blindsided. And so we need to have the mind of God. We need the mind of Christ. And it's important that we have that power. He said he's given us power and authority. But, you know, you can have power and authority, but if you don't use it, what good is it? Right, Pastor Gene?
That's right.
It, you know, God has given us power and authority. If you have it, but you don't use it, it's like anything else you might own. If you're going to build a house and you got all the tools, but you don't go out and use them, then you're not going to build anything. And what are we supposed to be building? The kingdom of God. And the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers what?
Violence.
This is Hamas. It means violence. You've taught on that before. People have heard you teach about that.
Yeah.
The word Hamas means what?
Well, the word violence in the Bible in the Hebrew is a word spelled H-A-M-A-S. It's a clue about Hamas, what's going on. All the groups over there.
And it means violence.
That's right. All this. You know, we got the Al-Qaeda. We got ISIS. Got all these groups. And
the president says ISIL.
ISIL, and don't want to admit it, even that there's terrorism in the world. That's not terrorism at all. So we got to keep praying that the eyes will be opened and that something will be done. I thought I'd share a couple of things out of the Bible. We're talking about where all these groups of people that were demonic, that God had the Jewish people to go in and to destroy them, the land that they occupied is still there today.
That's
and
right.
Those spirits are still hanging around over there wanting someone that they can operate through, and they're doing this. But let me just show you something here. This is in Daniel chapter 11. I was thinking about this when I got up this morning. If you're at home, open up a Bible to Daniel chapter 11. If you're not, well, if you're out in the car, you can listen. If you'd like to get a copy of this CD or tape that we're going to teach a little bit about today, all we ask for is a love offering. You can make it out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip here is 34995 at the Post Office Box, okay? All right, I'm going to start in verse 21 here in Daniel 11. This is talking about this false Messiah that's going to come here. It says, "In his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably," as it says in Ezekiel as well, "and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." Now listen to this. "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant." Well, the prince of the covenant was the high priest at that time, and it was Onias the third, if I remember studying this properly. Verse 23, "And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong and with a small people." So there's going to be a covenant. Maybe we know that. Now, verse 24. This is the key verse. "He shall enter peaceably, even unto the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south and the great army." This was the Ptolemies. But I don't want to go on with the rest of that. That's another teaching. But I want to look at verse 24 with you real close. There's a couple words in there I got looking at years ago, relating with the Hebrew, because this is the Hebrew Bible I'm looking at right here with the First Covenant. Now, the word faddis is an interesting word in the Hebrew. The faddis, if you look it up and see the definition of it in the Hebrew, it means oil or an oily place. Well, this is where all this terror and stuff that's going on so bad with Christians now is in those countries that have lots of oil and lots of money. And then you go on down, he says, even upon the faddis places of the province. Now, I happened to look this up one time. The word province in the Hebrew is a word that is spelled M-E-D-I-Y-N-A-H. It's pronounced like Medina. Well, this is the key part of the Muslim faith. Amen? Yes, they have those key cities, don't they? They have Mecca, they have Medina, and then they claim Jerusalem as their third most holy city, but it's really not. It's a perversion that God doesn't want them to have. But they're taking over, and a lot of places in the world are allowing them to have it to happen because of the fear. Now, I read a book years ago. Don and I read the whole book, the Book of Jasher. You can get that. And it talks about the conquest that the Jews had with all these groups of people that were coming against Israel. And God had the Jews go out with their small army, and they won and took over these areas. Well, in Daniel chapter 11, where I'm at, if you look down here at verse 41, it says, he, this is talking about the false Messiah again, shall enter in also into the glorious land. Well, we know that's Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. That's what they're wanting to do. And they already have some of them, haven't they? But these shall escape out of the hand, even Edom and Moab and the children of Ammon. So why are they going to escape? Because they're all Muslim nations. They're not going to destroy themselves. So we got a pattern with this. And Donna mentioned a moment ago about the word violence in the Hebrew. It's a word pronounced and spelled H-A-M-A-S, Hamas. God's given us a clue to what this is all about. So we need to be aware at this time. So we're going to parallel this now, thinking about this, what we have today, with what happened in the book of Esther. So Esther and Mordecai is a pattern, a picture, you know, it should be of what? Of the religious people that know Yeshua, walk with the Lord, and to do what needs to be done. Well, they knew that there's a group of people in their day that were going to try to destroy every single Jew in that territory. It's incredible to destroy them all. Well, that's the plan of the Islamic faith right now, is to destroy all the Christians and all the Jews in that particular time today. Well, anyway, so what did Esther and Mordecai do? Well, when Mordecai found out about it, you know, they worked as a team, and he notified Esther through their people, their, you know, the servants that were involved with Esther and all that, what was going on. And so they said, well, what are we going to do? Well, Esther right away, she made a decision. She says, let's ask the people here in this area, in Shushan and all, let all the people pray and fast for 3 days. 3 days. And so that's what the people did because of the request from Esther and from Mordecai. But I believe the whole thought came from God. You have to pray. We need to pray right now.
Jesus,
pray.
Pray.
Pray that God's going to move on our leadership to have something done in our country.
Thank you, Lord.
So what do? They pray. And so yes, after the 3 days, well, then Esther came out, and she says, well, I'm going to go before the king. Mordecai encouraged her. And she says, even though I haven't been called for 30 days, I'm going to go in there, and if I die, I die. And so Mordecai told her that this is for such a time as this, that's what you're here for. So she decided, after the 3 days of prayer, she went in, and she already knew what was going to happen because I believe God told her. So she went in before the king, he held up his golden scepter. She walked in, he says, what is your request? Up to half of my kingdom. That's incredible right there, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So she'd already prepared this banquet. It had to have been prepared because she asked the king, I want you and Mordecai, you and Haman to come to a banquet on that particular day.
She invited her enemy.
That's right. So if you look at it and you study it out real close, we'll probably talk about this maybe on our banquet next week. The day that she asked for that, for the first banquet, was on Nisan 16 on the calendar. It was on the 16th. They'd already prayed for 3 days, didn't they? The 13th, 14th, 15th, and that next day was what? Nisan 16. And so she went to the banquet and had a good time, and then she had another request, and the king asked her again, what is your request? Up to half of my kingdom. And so she says, can we have another banquet tomorrow?
Back tomorrow.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would she have two banquets instead of just one? So she says, well, can we have another banquet tomorrow? And so he agreed to do that. So the reason that it happened, and God told her to do that, because God has a time. Listen to me. Time. He has a time for everything. There's a time and a season. She was there for such a time in her life at that time. We have a time in our life, don't we, Pastor Don? So the time was important. God wanted to get it on the right day on his calendar to show us something prophetically way back then that's going to follow all the way through. And we see it even today, what's going on. And so she had the second banquet. And so what did she do at the second banquet? She exposed Haman, the enemy. Well, we need to have a banquet today in prayer with the Lord and expose the enemy that's behind all this. And it's the devil. Satan's behind that whole mess over that's going on. And so we have, greater is he that's in us than he that's out in the world. So we need to continue to pray and bombard heaven with prayers. And so we're asking today, all you that are listening, if you're a believer in Christ, you need to start praying for our country, Jesus, and pray for this evil spirit that's trying to take over our country and a lot of parts of the world as well. It's a global thing that's going on. So we have to stand up. Think about the
Persian. Now, that was on the 17th of Nisan.
Nisan.
Which is the same day
that Jesus rose from the grave.
Jesus rose from the grave, which overcame
Satan.
So God's showing us the future.
That's right.
That, you know, he is going to be brought down.
Satan, he shows us the end from the beginning, didn't he?
That's right. And so we can see what this means. So this would be Nisan 17, which is just after Passover.
That's right.
Just
around the day he came out of the grave. And so what happened there?
He took away the keys of death, hell.
And hell for us.
For us, that we may have the victory and we may pray.
That's right.
But, you know, this happened before Yeshua, but God's the same God then, now, and forever. It's a pattern. He told Bosheth.
And it's the spirit that's behind the whole thing.
Yes.
So that
day, what happened to him? What happened to Haman?
Okay, Haman wanted to have. He made a big gallows, 75 feet tall, for Mordecai.
He hated Mordecai.
He hated the Jews. But after Esther exposed him, well, then what? The king took Haman and said, put him on the gallows. And so the tables were turned upside down.
So he was hung.
He hung.
He died on the same day
that Jesus came out from the grave. So think about Haman. He's a picture of the false Messiah. He's a picture of Satan.
The devil had
10 sons that were all destroyed also. A pattern also. The 10 nations are going to be involved heavily at the end. So it's all there. And so he died on that day. And think about it. Jesus died and rose from the grave. But he rose from the grave on the exact day that Haman was hung on the gallows. And we just mentioned, what did he do? He broke the power of sin and death off our lives when he came out of the grave. And it says he exposed them publicly when they saw all. 500 people at one time saw him alive after the resurrection and all that. And so he took the power of the enemy away from us, and so we can walk in that place with him. And so there we have this pattern. He's showing us all this, and we're going to come down to conclusion here as the years go by. Soon it's going to happen. There's going to be what? There's going to be a Armageddon's going to come. There's going to be a major war.
Those 10 nations are going to come together.
And they'll come together, plus a lot of others, and they're all going to be destroyed when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And so here we have this pattern. And so Mordecai and Esther were the agent that God used to what? To stop what was going to happen in the Persian Empire. Now think how big the Persian Empire was geographically, the territory. Thousands, and probably millions of people living there. Well, Haman wanted to kill every Jew in the province. All those 127 provinces, he wanted to kill them all. Well, what did Esther have to do? Well, she knew that when the king made a decree with the Persians, it could not be changed. So she asked the king at that banquet, when he was exposed, could you allow us to make another decree that we can defend ourselves when this time comes? And so the king says, do it. So the decree went out.
Can
you imagine how long it took for it to go through 127 provinces? It went out. And so when that day came, 11 months in the future, on Adar, 13, 14, 15, we're talking about, well, they were able to what? To defend themselves at that time, and they did. They defended themselves. It's incredible.
11 months later.
That's right.
They defended themselves, and they won. They won.
Right. But we're talking about these spirits. Think about this. Haman came from a group called the Agagites, okay?
Yes.
And he was an ancestor of that. And Saul, way back, was told to destroy that king, all the people, everything, not to touch the spoil, and he did exactly opposite of what God told him to do. So the Jews were pestered and troubled by that spirit all down through those years until Mordecai and Esther stood up against that. Well, when this victory came with them, that's when that spirit was stopped at that time. But remember, it didn't die. It's still hanging around today. It's wanting to come back around. It's trying to do this in the world right now.
It's happening.
And it's happening right now. And so that spirit did not die, did it?
So we're talking about, he had 10 sons. We're now, what's happened now? Because time has gone by and the hatred has grown more and more and more. And so these 10 sons are now going to be represented by 10 nations.
That's right.
And so, which is, they have even more power now than they had in the day of Esther. But, you know, God has greater power than the devil.
That's
and
right.
People give the devil too much credit. So we need, but Christians, we need to come together like Esther and Mordecai. See, it wasn't just Esther and Mordecai that prayed and fasted. All the Jews prayed and fasted, just like Bishop Hammond, just like Sid Roth, just like all these different ministers are saying, it's time, we need to come together in unity and pray and
Amen.
Fast. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said he's going to salt us with fire. We need to be baptized with the fire of God, and we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? So we have the power to pray. You know, it's people don't want to pray. Why? It's, I don't know. I don't know why people don't want to pray. I guess it's tiring. I guess they don't think it's important. But God says, he says, pray. And what he says, if my people, it says this through the Bible, if my people, and Jesus said, pray that you might come through these things. It's, you know, we have to come together, and we need to seek God's face. He says, seek my face. And pray, but we need to be unified in prayer. And the only thing that will unify us in prayer is if we have the prayer of agreement. And the only thing that's going to bring us into the prayer of agreement is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows everything. He knows all things. He says he would teach us things. He would show us things to come. It's only the Holy Ghost. It's not what men think or men say or what they teach. But if they seek the Lord and have the Holy Ghost, then you know we're going to come together and we're going to be the church that God's called to be, a powerful church, not to be a sick or a weak or a lukewarm church. He doesn't want a lukewarm church.
I can imagine all those Christians over there in those cages and all that's been captured, up to 400 or whatever.
Can you imagine?
They're all praying up heavily to God to do something. Amen.
So remember,
I think Esther and Mordecai realized in their day that this was a spiritual battle. It was darkness against light. And that's what it is. If our country and our leadership would just look at it and say, this is a religious battle between darkness and light. And that's what it's all about. They're trying to destroy the light, but the light will never be destroyed. Mm-hmm. But it is. This is a battle in the spirit, okay? It's what it is. And mm-hmm. I think Esther and Mordecai realized that. And so that spirit that was there was put down for a while, but it's resurrected itself because spirits don't die, and it's trying to accomplish the same thing that happened back then with the whole world now, not just the Persian Empire, but the whole world.
That includes America.
That's right.
And Canada and every other place.
That's right. And so we got to remember this, and nobody wants to admit it. They don't want to talk about it. You know, they don't want to call it terrorism. They don't want to, even when they talked about those 21 men that had their heads cut off, they didn't even mention on the news that they were Christians. They were believers in Christ. Well, they took them down to the beach and cut their heads off.
And what about the children?
And the children.
Marrying little girls.
That's right. It's incredible.
Children.
That's right. So, you know, it's such a profane thing and an evil spirit that's there. And I don't care. I'm going to continue to declare this. And we need to know what God's wanting us to know in this day and this hour about this. And if we don't, well, then we will be defeated by this if we don't stand up. And this is their plan, is to take over the world. And so, Father, I just pray that everyone that's listening to this program right now, that's listening, will begin to pray, and even pray in the Spirit, get baptized in the Spirit, and begin to pray the prayers that you want us to come out of our mouth in this day, Lord, to turn the tide back, like two people did in that day, Mordecai and Esther, with the power of prayer. And we know that the fervent prayer of a man is going to bring much. We know that. And so we thank you for the red hot prayer of a righteous man. So
thank
we give you
Jesus
praise that they'll continue to pray and continue
day after day until this thing
will be revealed. Let it be exposed in Washington, D.C., Father God. Let them realize the truth of it. There's a group there that do believe this, but there's a lot more that don't. They think it's just something that's going to pass. And so I bind the thought. I come against this compromise and apathy that we have in our land in regarding to this. So touch President Obama. Let him realize the truth in all this and to stand up for what's right. Even when he said that the Islam was not, this thing with it is not called terror. He didn't want to call it terrorism. Well, it is. They're bringing terror to the world, just like the Assyrians did hundreds of years ago. And so I release everyone that's listening to this program right now to begin to pray. If you've got your heavenly language, pray. Pray in the Spirit, and God's going to show you some things, how to pray. And so we thank you. Sid Rock was just on yesterday, and he was praying about it also. So, and he's a Messianic Jew. So we need to pray and stand up for the things that God wants us to know. And we know there's a war going on. The Bible talks about it. It's all going to come down to a head. It's called Armageddon one day. There's a battle between this. It's going to be between the Islamic people and what else? And God's people, the Jewish people that come to Yeshua, and all the believers as well. That's what it's all about. And so I believe we talked about this Mahdi, meaning the guided one. Well, they think they have a Messiah figure, and they call him the Mahdi. Well, I got news for you. Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, is the one that'll have the victory at the end.
Yes.
So we got a lot of lies being perpetrated out there today, that even in Islam's a peaceful religion. When you read their Quran, it's not a peaceful religion in any way, shape, or form. They have a God of hate, murder, rape, killing. But our God is a God of love. And so
God said there would be false prophets.
That's right.
Not to follow them.
So we want to release God's love out into the world.
Out into the desert.
That's right.
Don't listen. Know that there's only one God, and His Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's where the power lies.
Let me read something for you here out of the book of Amos.
I think about what people say. And, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear.
Absolutely.
So I just bind that spirit of fear that some people in America.
And nations have.
That people have.
Leaders.
He says he's given us a spirit of power, love and a sound mind. And so we need to pray. We need to cover ourselves in the blood of Yeshua,
blood
of Jesus. Because there's power in the blood. Amen. There's power in the blood. But I was thinking about, how they always say the pen. You hear it on the news all the time, the pen. Well, there was a writing here, a pen that made a decree. So we need to, and there was actually a bad decree, and then there was a good decree.
That's right.
Well, we need to pray that the writing of the pen will, and we need to pray too also for Benjamin Netanyahu, who's going to be
here on Tuesday
in this country. And we need to keep him in prayer because he has been given power also because we need to pray. We need to keep Israel in our prayers. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for Israel because that's their ultimate thing to do, is to wipe Israel, every Jew off the face of the earth, and declare that land is theirs. But God has promised that land to the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
And I think about Benjamin's coming, and it's only about Tuesday. It's going to be about 2 weeks before the elections again over in Israel. With this time, with this disgrace and shame that they're doing in front of this man, Obama won't be there to listen to what he's got to say. Vice President Biden won't be there. John Kerry's going to be doing something else. It's such disrespect for a leader of a nation that it's been our ally for all these years, and we're just basically turning away from him.
They put no importance to it.
That's right. No importance. They don't mean one thing. They don't want to listen. See, he's going to tell them the truth about what we're talking about, but they won't. They don't want to hear it.
So what they're doing actually is turning their face away from what God's plans are.
That's right.
Because, even though a lot of map makers have already removed Israel from the map, the name off. They don't want... And that's the plan. But God has a plan, and us Christians need to realize it's not just the home of the Jewish people.
That's right.
It's our home.
It's our home.
It's our home as well. It's our land as well.
Absolutely.
And so that land is precious, and we can see what God has done with the land that was barren, for so many years, and now it's prosperous. It's fruitful. It's there's great things
just
that
great
coming
things
out
going
of
on,
Israel.
Yeah.
God uses the great scientists that are Jewish. God has a plan for Israel, and it's not for the enemy to take it over.
You got it.
God will take care of that.
That's right.
God will take care of that. But God is wanting us to join up and to be in agreement, the church, the body of Christ.
I want to read something here because we got about almost 15 minutes.
Thank you, Lord.
It's out of Amos chapter 1, and we've talked about this in the past, but I want to look at verse 6 with you. In chapter 1 it says, "Thus saith the Lord," this is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, "for three transgressions of Gaza," think about what happened in the Gaza Strip a few years ago, "and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom." They took over that area, Gaza Strip, and kicked all the Jewish people out. But verse 7 says, "But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof." I believe this is something that's going to happen in the future. But now I want to go down to verse 9. Listen to this. "Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyrus, And let's tie verse today. That's a Muslim area, okay? And for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom. The Edomites, okay, this is what, today that territory they had is what? It's a Muslim territory today. And remember not the brotherly covenant. Remember? Remember, Isaac had a brother, didn't he?
Yes.
But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Now here's the key verses. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom. He keeps talking about this Muslim connection that we have today, okay? And the brotherly connection was with Isaac and Ishmael. We know they had the same mother, they had the same father, but they had a different mother. And so they were really brothers in the sense that God would look at it that way. And so he says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Now listen to this. Because he did pursue his brother, this is what? Ishmael, and this is what the Muslims are doing today, did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. And then he says, God says, but I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. So we have all these indications in the Word of God when we look at what God's showing us, and they're all patterns to the future. And we need to understand that in a great way. But a lot of people don't. They think, well, everything's going to be okay. Que sera, que sera. You know, like Doris Day sang that song years ago. That's not the case. We have to do something about it. We can't sit back because they're going to infiltrate. They're going to take over. They're wanting to establish Sharia law in certain cities where we have our law, and they want to put their law in place as well, allowing them to, you know, mutilate people and the things they're doing and their children and all that and their wives. And so we stand up for that in Jesus, in Yeshua's mighty name. So this is a time to really, it's interesting how all this is coming to a big head right now, right at this time next week when Purim is going to come again, showing us how history repeats itself. And God wants us to know the truth in all this. And so we pray that you'll listen to this today and you'll take heed. And we've been praying in the Spirit all week long. We just keep praying, and I've been praying in the Spirit. And the more I pray, Lord, show me even more things. And so as we continue to do that, God's going to show you exactly, specifically, what's on His heart and what He wants you to pray about. And so that's what we need to know. We want His heart, not a bunch of just prayers to be praying, but to ask Him, what do you want us to pray about? And when you do that, He's going to show you. And, you know, we can't all pray about everything, but God will show each individual certain areas that He wants to be prayed about. And then as we all respond to those requests from God, and we pray it back up to Him, guess what's going to happen? Something mighty, wonderful is going to happen in the days ahead. And so, I don't know about you, but I've had a heavy heart all this week. I really have. Because of all the things that's been. Every day it's something new on TV. Every day it's something else that's happened. And we don't want any more people to be tortured and killed. And I think about all the children that are taken over there. And we don't know what's going to happen with them, you know. And I think about, you know, they let that Sergeant Bergdahl, I guess that was his name, they let him out, the Muslim did. And so we released five of their big generals to go back out into their land and start doing the same thing they did before. How foolish can that be? And yet we got people that really need help, that are doing the right thing. Nobody wants to go save them from all this mess. Thank you for Mordecai, Lord. Thank you for Esther, that they were willing to pay the price. And they said, she said, if I die, I die. She didn't care. So I'm going before the king, even though I haven't been called into his presence for 30 days. I'm going before the king. And she found favor because why? Because God was on her side. Amen? I'm going to show you something else here in the first covenant because we have all these patterns. If you go to the book of Obadiah, it's right before the book of Jonah. The book of Obadiah. It's a short book right after Amos. Now we see something here in the very first chapter of Obadiah. Where do I want to start at? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to start in the very first verse and read a few verses here. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, the Edomites. Now, that area over there where they are, we're at that time, are what? The Muslims today. And by the way, remember Herod was an Edomite, King Herod? We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen, thou art greatly despised. Who? The Edomites. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Well, I got news for them. Yeshua is going to bring them down to the ground. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, verse 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Hear this?
Amen.
If thieves come into thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? Remember, who was the father of the Edomites? It was Esau, okay. How are his hidden things sought? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Listen to this now, verse 8. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord. Now I believe this is talking to the future as well. Even destroy the wise men out of Edom. Hear this?
Yeah.
All the clerks and the ones who think they're wise. And understanding out of the mount of Esau. They're connected together. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. This is going to happen in the future, okay? Glory be to God. Now, whooshamon that it may. Hallelujah. Now, verse 10, this is key. For thy violence, here's that word violence. It's the word spelled Hamas in the Hebrew, H-A-M-A-S. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Do you hear? They're going to be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. And I'm going down to verse 15. For the day of the Lord is near. It's near with us. We're in the last days.
Yes,
upon all heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, hear this, his holy mountain, Mount Moriah, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Hear this? And there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions.
Lord.
It belongs to them, and it will always belong to them. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain of the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, all that land that God gave to Israel. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And the last verse, and saviors shall come up on the Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be what? The Lord's. Those saviors are talking about deliverers are going to come. We got an incredible, it's all through the Word of God, what he's trying to tell us to look at. You know, I was thinking, look at verse 3 with me if you're at home and you got a Bible. There's a word here that we got underlined in my Bible. It says, the pride of thy heart that hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. This word rock is a Hebrew word for Selah. And it's the capital of Edom. That's where it was. Whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? So they have pride. They have arrogance. Look at the way they talk. Look at what they're doing. Pride and arrogance is going to come down. But we can't have this in this country. I see that with political leaders. Pride and arrogance and pride will come before a fall. And so we got to keep praying for our nation. So anyway.
There's a lot of pride in this nation.
There's a lot of pride.
What happens with pride? What's the Bible say about pride?
It's going to be brought down. Pride comes before a fall. So we need to pray for our leaders and for the church to stand up and be the church that we're supposed to be. Right, Pastor Donna?
Oh, shatata baka.
So I hope you have ears to hear what's being said here today.
Thank you, Lord.
Roscoe and Audrey over at Andros, I pray they're listening as well.
Amen.
Able to hear it on
bless
the internet.
Them. Thank you, Lord. It's a serious time.
That's right.
Serious time. Oh, we're down to a couple minutes, Pastor Gene,
so
I'm just
going
to just give the phone number again and let people know and just let them pray. Call us and let us know you're praying with us. Try to pray that hour, you know, in the Holy Ghost. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, give us a call and we'll pray with you. To get baptized in the Holy Ghost,
Lord.
Come visit us. We have church here in Stuart, Florida, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and we'll certainly pray with you to get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. And lay hands on you and speak a word of prophecy over you, and God will bless you. God wants to bless His people. Amen.
Sure does.
So we also have services Friday night at 7 p.m. We have Shabbat services, and we spent time seeking the presence of the Lord. And on Saturday, we have something going on most every Saturday. This Saturday, of course, we know this coming Saturday, the 7th.
March, yeah.
Of March, we will have our Purim celebration at 5:00. Please call an RSVP. I know you'll be blessed and have a good time. We'll have a meal there. You don't need to bring anything. You don't need to pay for anything. Just come and be blessed and learn more about what the times and the seasons of the Lord, because we need to know these things. Amen. Also mentioned this afternoon, we'll be having our last at 4:00. We'll be having another talking on
witnessing.
We need to go out and witness. We went into the nursing home this week on Wednesday, and eleven souls
came, yeah.
were saved. And so, you know, God wants us to witness wherever we're at. We can go to nursing home. We can go to hospitals, but we can be a witness wherever we are, any time of the day, because there's always people around, you know, and there's
right.
always somebody who's hungry and needs prayer. So, you know, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He wants
right.
us to be a witness, and there's a joy in that witnessing. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we just like to bless people and then learn a little bit more about that. So that's this afternoon at 4:00. Amen. So I'm just going to give our telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And you can listen to this broadcast again if you want to go to WCNO. It's on the internet, mm-hmm. 24 hours a day. And you can listen to this broadcast again. Go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard. That's the name of the radio program, Pastor Gene Hilton. And you can listen to us there. And we'll, of course, we're here every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time around the world. People
yep.
can listen to us. So tell your neighbors and friends, tell your relatives that may live somewhere else, you know, hey, you know, maybe you might want to listen to Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton on Raising the Standards. So that's a wonderful thing to have. We used to just have this area, you know, 50, and that was prophesied over us, 50 miles north, east, south, and west.
Right.
You know, Roscoe and Audrey can hear us in the Bahamas
right
now. So, you know, but now anyone can hear us all anywhere in the world.
That's right.
So Praise God.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were praying and talking mm-hmm. there, we need to pray that there'll be more Esthers and Mordecais raised up at this time
yes.
to speak, pray, and listen to what God's got to say. Amen. So we're down to the end of the program. We're honored to be here with you every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And so as we close every week, I tell you to look up, because your redemption truly draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.